This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, we continue our journey in looking at various ahadith or traditions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to purify us and to make us better individuals and to take us away from these bad moral habits that we find that, as we mentioned many times, that the climate around us, the environment around us, the society around us begins to influence the characteristics and the traits of Islam, begins to weaken them, that we find the practices of the people become acceptable. And some of the practices are acceptable, and there are a large portion of other practices which are unacceptable Islamically that a person should avoid. And we stopped on Ghaddul Basar, on a person to lower their gaze, even though we mentioned that society around us is a society that breeds and preaches to people to look at the opposite gender directly into their faces and to speak to them directly. And as today's hadith continues that same pattern of lowering one's gaze or being careful of what they gaze, what they look upon. And the theme of the glance that we mentioned is all taken from Surah An-Nur, the 24th Surah of the Quran al-Madinah, and Surah 64 verses. We mentioned that all of us should go back and read this Surah to see the various adab, the various akhlaq, the various etiquettes, the various manners, the various characteristics that we as believing men and believing women that we need to uphold and we need to live inside our life. And likewise, find the opposite is mentioned inside this surah, that stern punishment for people who disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for people who carry out these evil actions of fawahish. The law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins inside this surah of highlighting what is the punishment of those individuals carry out such evil actions. So we find that the many etiquettes and lessons that we need to develop upon, we focus upon continuing inside Surah An-Nur, where we can extract from this verse of the Qur'an, يَا يُلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَدْخُلُوا بُيُوتٍ غَيْرَ بُيُوتِكُمْ. Or you believe, don't enter into the homes of those homes which you don't have permission to enter into حَتَّى تَسْتَأْنِسُوا, until permission is given to you, or you ask for permission. وَتُسَلِّمُوا عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. And that is better for you if only you could remember and pay heed towards this. فَإِن لَمْ تَجِدُوا فِيهَا أَحَدًا فَلَا تَدْخُلُوهَا حَتَّى يُؤْذَنَ لَكُمْ. If you find no one is inside there, then don't enter those homes until permission is granted or given to you. وَإِن قِيلَ لَكُمْ ارْجِعُوا فَارْجِعُوا هُوَ أَزْكَى لَكُمْ. If it's told you to go back and to return back, then return back. That is better for you. وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ عَلِيمٌ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-knowing about whatever you carry out. لَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ جُنَاحٌ أَن تَدْخُلُوا بُيُوتًا غَيْرَ مَسْكُونَ. And there's no harm upon you to enter into a home which by you find فِيهَا مَتَاعٌ لَكُمْ, whereby it's empty and you have permission to enter into those homes, or there's provision for you inside those homes. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تُبَدُونَ وَمَا تَكْتُمُونَ. Indeed, Allah knows that which you conceal and that which you reveal. And that's based upon this hadith, that today's hadith is speaking about entering into homes or looking into people's homes, that we find what is in the English language of peeping or prying or looking into people's home without permission. That we find, obviously, for some of us it may sound trivial, but these are etiquettes which are laid out inside Islam. To such a degree, we find such a harsh warning for a person who does not control their gaze. In the hadith that we find, Sa'al ibn Sa'ad al-Ansari, who narrates, أَنَّ رَجُلًا اتَّلَعَ مِنْ جُحْرٍ مِنْ بَابِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, that this certain individual came and he began to peep and look into the room of the house of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. وَمَعَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ مِدْرًا يُرَجِّلُ بِهِ رَأْسَهُ. And he had a comb, an ornament, and he was combing his hair with it. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, لَوْ أَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ تَنْظُرُ دَعَنْتُ بِهِ فِي عَيْنِكَ. He said, if I knew that you was watching me, I would have poked you directly into your eye with this utensil that I'm using. إِنَّمَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ الْإِذْنَ مِنْ أَجْلِ الْبَصَرِ. Indeed, you find that permission has been given for that main reason, because the eye could glance upon that which is forbidden to look into a person's home. Al-Hadith muttafaqun alayh, as narrated by Imam Bukhari and Muslim. Another hadith in Muslim that we find is narrated by Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, man ittala fi bayti qawmin bighayri idhnihim faqad halla lahum an yafqahu aynahu. Whoever looks into a person's home without their permission, then it is perfectly permissible, halal, for to poke out that person's eye. To gouge that person's eye out is something which is allowed inside the Sharia, inside the hadith of Sahih Muslim that we find. Simple, basic teachings that we find, which were breached then and even being breached today. That people don't know these etiquettes, or they forget these etiquettes, or as we mentioned, the climate around them allows them to carry out, to do these actions. And thus, if you study the Quran in great detail, you find a large portion of the Quran is adab, is akhlaq. is about characteristics and behavior. In a hadith in Muwatta Imam Malik that we find, إِنَّمَا بُعِثُّ لِيُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. I've been sent for the sole purpose to perfect noble characteristics and behavior. That's many of the ulama of hadith, they mention as if the most important thing, or one of the most important things that the Prophet ﷺ came with was akhlaq, was characteristics and behavior to instill that amongst his people. And if you look at Surah Tawbah, you find when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the Bedouins, about their practice, about how the type of people that they were, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unified them, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purified them, made them to become a great nation. Now Shaykh Islam ibn Taymiyyah mentioned in Afdulun Nas, the most best of people will be the Arabs, إِذَا فَقِهُ. If they understand the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will traverse with it, travel through the lands which has been visualized. And at the same time, he mentions, if they begin to dismantle the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they become, may Allah forbid, أَفْجِرُ النَّاسِ, the most wicked of people who derail, go away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he taught his companions around him. We find inside the Qur'an, that some of us, as we mentioned, may think that these etiquettes are trivial, but the Qur'an doesn't find anything trivial. وَلَيْسَ الْبِرُّ أَن تَأْتُوا الْبُيُوتَ مِنْ ظُهُورِهَا. It's not piety to enter the homes from the rear end. وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ, but piety is whoever enters the homes from the correct location, from the front of location. وَأْتُوا الْبُيُوتَ مِنْ أَبْوَابِهَا. Even this context, ayat speak about Hajj and Umrah, how they get ready for Hajj and Umrah, but many of the ulama of Logha and Quran have mentioned that the practice of the people at that time was to enter people's homes from the rear of the homes. That's what you have in many Muslim countries. You have a front area and you have a rear area. So the people just enter from the back. In today's time, enter from a person's garden, come into their home. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rebukes them that this is not piety to enter from the rear of the homes. Piety is, وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ اتَّقَى بِبِرَّ, whoever fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَأْتُ الْبُيُوتَ مِنْ أَبْوَابِهَا. Enter the homes via the correct locations, from the front of the homes. These etiquettes, as we said, that may sound something far away for us, but these are etiquettes that these people had. These bad etiquettes, they had to be refined. And thus, if you look at Surah Al-Hujurat, the 49th chapter, 18 verses, it's nothing but adab. Etiquettes of teaching the Muslim. Adab ma'allahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ma'al rasulihi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Etiquettes, how we behave towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, belief towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, between Muslims, amongst ourselves. Don't scoff, don't look down, don't ridicule, don't cheat, don't lie, don't backbite, don't be suspicious. Don't think you're better than another individual. Don't be proud or overproud of your faith, think that you submitted. All these adab and etiquettes, in just 18 verses that we find, a short surah, teaches us, as many ulama have mentioned, that if we as a Muslim society uphold this surah, if we could just implement Surah Al-Hujurat inside our lives, we've implemented an Islamic society. That's what we've done. If we truly deeply believe inside the Quran, the impact of the Quran, and take these teachings inside this surah, it would have a profound effect inside our lives. And that's the Quran itself, remaining with Surah Al-Baqarah, it mentions, يَا يُلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا دْخُلُوا فِي سِلْمِ كَافَةً وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Or you believe, enter into Islam totally. That's what we need to understand. Islam isn't a religion. It's not just a religion like other religions. It is a way of life. It is a way of life from the minute you wake up in the morning till the end, till you sleep, until you die. That's the difference between a religion and a way of life. Because religion is only aspects of your life. As they say, give that which belongs to Allah to Allah, and that which belongs to Caesar to Caesar. That when you're in the masjid, or when you're in the church, then you become one who fears God. But when you come to society, then you give society the due right. You obey the society around you, that you need to please both worlds, as they say. But that's not what Islam is. Islam is trying your best. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ, wherever you are, that you're trying to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside your private life, your daily life, your work life, everything that you do is engaged towards that. If not, we become the society around us. That religion is only on a Sunday. Religion for them has even become far beyond that. It's become a sport. It's become an activity. They have a religious nature for certain things that they do. They worship sports. They worship these things. It's so ingrained within their life. That's their form of ibadah. That's not ibadah for a believer. Ibadah for a believer is vast. Is everything about their life becomes ibadah lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus we find that Islam came to discipline and left no stone unturned. That's why when some of a Jewish man came to mock Islam, to ridicule Islam, when he said to Salman al-Farisi that maybe your prophet even taught you how to urinate, how to go to the toilet. Was Salman al-Farsi, was he taken aback? Was he upset? Was he like some of us Muslims that to feel shy about our faith? That you don't display our faith? And even some of us to pray in public, if we need to pray, if the time has come, we've got no choice, that we shy away from it? Or even if our friends come and we say to our friend, say to our parents, look, don't display yourself so Islamically in front of my friends, or don't make Islamic comments. This is what we've become inside our society. This is the influence of the society around us. But Salman al-Farsi said, no. He said, my prophet taught me everything. He taught us that when we urinate, we defecate, that we should squat down. We shouldn't face the Qibla. We shouldn't use our right hand. We should use stones, pebbles, water to cleanse ourselves, conceal ourselves. So the Jewish man, he mentioned it as a joke, trying to ridicule him, trying to make him look down. But Salman al-Farsi was proud that these are the etiquettes that Islam has taught me. And thus we find that these etiquettes that we find is all there. A person came, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari came and knocked on the door of Umar al-Khattab. Knocked three times and he walked away. Umar al-Khattab came out enraged that, how dare you knock on my door and just walk away in this manner? Why didn't you wait for me? He said, I heard the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam say that knock on a person's door three times. If you hear no response, then leave. It's not what these people say, that maybe there's still somebody inside the home. You can hear voices, you can see the light, look through the letterbox to make them come out the house. It's a person's privacy. They may be in an engagement of resting or whatever they may be, and not in a best of moods or best of health. So Umar al-Khattab said, you need to give me some bayina. You need to give me some evidence that this is something from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So Abu Musa al-Ashari, he went back and he saw some of the companions sitting there, and some of the hadith or the narration mentioned that he's pale in his face because he knew the sternness of Umar al-Khattab. So he asked, does anybody know this narration of knocking on people's door three times? Abu Sa'id al-Khudri said, I can witness to this narration. So they both went back. And here ulama of hadith uses it as a principle, two narrations, two people narrate a hadith, authenticates the hadith. And he narrates that indeed we heard this from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Umar al-Khattab says, it's not that I question you two, but I want to authenticate. That's what Islam isn't culture, is what we can learn from this. Islam isn't our cultural practices. Islam is authentic nusus of the Quran and the Sunnah. That's what it is. Culture is something which is good, but if it clashes with one's Islam, then it's put to the side. And that whatever culture which doesn't clash with Islam, as urful nas, urful sha'ab, the nature of the people, common practice of the people around us, their language, their etiquettes, their food, there's la haraj fi dhalik, no harm in that. But if it begins to traverse and go over, enter into Islam, then a person needs to draw a fine line regarding that. And thus we need to read works of Al-Adab al-Mufrad, Imam al-Bukhari. That's where many of these narrations are. Just like he had a collection of Sahih al-Bukhari, he had a collection of Adab al-Mufrad. Obviously some of the ahadith need to be checked, etc. But in general that we find it's acceptable, whereby he narrates ahadith about etiquettes, about behavior. Just like we mentioned many times, Riyadus Salihin of Imam Nawawi. Every single Muslim should read this book. Because obviously certain books of ahadith like Bukhari and Muslim, they are deep textual books of fiqh and interpretation that an average person may not be able to understand and relate to them. But such books like Adab al-Mufrad and Riyadus Salihin, an average Muslim can pick up these books and read through them, look at the etiquettes of life, of behavior and practices of the Prophet ﷺ inside our daily life that we find. Abu Huraira, he narrates, if a man looks into your house and you take some pebbles and you gouge out his eye, you throw these pebbles into his eye, there's no fault on your part. Another hadith, Imam Bukhari narrates inside Adab al-Mufrad, that a man was peeping into the room of the Prophet ﷺ and he aimed an arrowhead at him and the man withdrew his head. So the Prophet ﷺ was sitting there, was reclining, and we know that the rooms of the Prophet wasn't just the rooms or houses that we have today, some lavish houses that we find. Read the hadith. If the Prophet stood to pray and he had to go down into sajda, then Aisha would have to bring her legs close to her. So there's enough space for the Prophet to perform sajda. Tasawwaru hadha, this is a room. This is the room of the Prophet that for him to prostrate, she had to bring her legs close to herself, to her chest, kneel and crouch herself so he could perform the sajda. This gives us a depiction. That's when he left this world. What did he leave behind? A small bowl, a small utensil. That's all that he left behind. Would pray on a reed mat. The most simple of people in his life. The most simple of people that man at tasawwur, we can never ever imagine. But his simplicity, his etiquettes, his life makes him the most respectable individual on the face of this earth. وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرًا. We raised high your remembrance. And that's when many times companions encourage you to take something of this dunya. He said, Mali wali dunya. What is my concern and this dunya? Inna mathali ka mathali rahil aw mithli musafir aw kama qala alayhi salatu. My parable is like a traveler who's traveling this in this on this world on a journey, and for a short while he rests tahta shajara, rests underneath a tree to take a break and then continue his journey. That's what this dunya are. Walakum fil ardi mata'un, on this world it's only for mustaqarrun, only this world for a short time. For a short time we're upon this earth. Whatever that short time may be, it may seem like a long time, but a short time. So a person refines themselves. Because people are remembered via their authenticity. People are remembered via their good deeds, via their good actions and the good etiquettes that we find. That's when other numerous ahadith Imam Bukhari narrates at Adab al-Mufrad about etiquettes of behavior, entering into our parents. As the Quran says, Surah An-Nur, it mentions, at certain times the person should not enter into the parents' homes, inside their rooms. At the time, or before al-Dhahira, at the time of the Qailula, the siesta nap that we find, the time of in early in the morning, a time at the night, person should seek permission. And likewise in brothers and sisters that we find, in the hadith is quite explicit, whereby person he wants to just enter into his sister's room or into his brother's room, what does it mention? One should take permission, knock and enter. Does a person want to see their family member in a state of nudity? Those are literally the words that it mentions. The person will feel ashamed. But these are etiquettes that tell us how we should enter and behave towards one another to make us a wholesome and a good society, obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what we mentioned, this is not something trivial or light. If this is brought to a mahkamah, to a judge, whereby a person has been peeping or prying into a person's home, then the judge will give the ruling. The person should be punished accordingly because they've breached the privacy of an individual. And that's an environment that we lived in many times, that we live in dwellings, in homes, in flats, and states, in environments that we live in, or we can see people's gardens, etc. A person should be vigilant. Vigilant, not regarding them, vigilant regarding fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we mentioned, we encourage ourselves to live to Islam to the best of our ability. We find such basic ahadith, basic that we can use linguistically, but their meaning is deep, is profound, that many of us, we don't seem to understand or implement these ahadith. من حسن إسلام المرء تركه ما لا يعنيه. From the best things of a person's Islam, or the perfection of Islam and the goodness of Islam, is تركه ما لا يعنيه, to leave that which doesn't concern the individual. Hadith and Sunan of Imam Tirmidhi, likewise collected Imam Nawawi inside his 42 ahadith. Once again, read the explanation of Imam Nawawi's 42 ahadith, Jam al-Ulum al-Hikam of Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, especially those ahadith which speak of these basic etiquettes of tazkiyat al-nufus, of purity, to see how ulama explained about how a person needs to conduct themselves and how they need to live their life. And thus we find Islam, as we began with, is there to make us better individuals. Inna Allah yuhibbu at-tawwabin wa yuhibbu al-mutatahhirin. Allah loves those people who make tawbah and those who purify themselves. Purifying ourselves, tazkiyat al-nufus, that we find isn't just it internally, it's externally as well. That internally we purify our hearts, externally we purify our actions. It makes a complete individual. And that's the Prophet ﷺ, amongst his sifat given to him, وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, he purifies them. All these bad and evil traits that we've touched upon, the Prophet ﷺ, he came to refine people, to take them away from these bad traits and lead them to the good traits. Likewise, a person should pray, اللهم آتي نفسي تقواها وزكيها وأنت خير من زكاها. Allah, give my soul, my conscience, give my nafs, purify it. And the best one that can purify it is you, Ya Allah, to guide me towards that which is purifying me, make me a good individual. That's why in Surah Al-Shams, we find some 10 or 11 oaths that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes by the sun, the moon, the day, the night, etc. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. After these 10 or 11 oaths, there's no place inside the Quran that consecutively Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath after an oath after an oath after an oath after an oath. And it mentions قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Successful is the one that purifies it. Purifies what? Purifies their soul. Purifies their adab. Purifies their etiquettes. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّهَا. And wretched is the one who pays no attention. No attention to their soul. No attention to what enters into their soul. No attention towards purifying themselves. And thus we find that in this month of Ramadan, that alhamdulillah, many of us, if not all of us, we've controlled our stomachs. We've controlled our desires, as we know that Sawm is to stay away from food and drink and matrimonial relationships during this month of Ramadan. Many of us, we do that, there's no doubt. But what is the impact of all of this? Just staying away from carnal desires It may raise us spiritually, but we need to refine ourselves even more. That when we come out this month of Ramadan, the faculties and our actions have become totally different in devotion towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like we controlled our limbs from food and drink, we need to control our tongues. We need to control our sight. We need to control our words, our speech, our hearing. All of this, as ulama mentioned, this is thamaratu siyam. The fruits of fasting, these are what the fruits of fasting are. That after Ramadan, the impact of Ramadan has changed you, has made you a better individual. Not just you stayed away from food and drink, and then you go back to eating and drinking once again, which is normal. But the inner meaning, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, that you gain spirituality. And especially now in this period of lockdown and abstinence from people, we should be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can question ourselves. We can evaluate ourselves. We can judge ourselves. We can study ourselves. Ask ourselves. Read through the Quran. When the Quran says on the Day of Judgment, a person will say, مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا. What's the matter with this book? What's the matter with my record? Not a small thing or big thing, except for it's documented it and brings it forth on the Day of Judgment. Person would say on the Day of Judgment, it will be said to the person on the Day of Judgment, كَفَى بِنَفْسِكَ الْيَوْمَ عَلَيْكَ حَسِيبًا اِقْرَأْ كِتَابَكَ. Read once again Surah Al-Isra, the pages of adab, etiquettes inside it that we find. Allah mentions, اِقْرَأْ كِتَابَكَ. Read your own book. Read your book yourself. Sufficient, suffice it does that you stand as a testimony, as a witness upon your own self. مَنْ اِهْتَدَى فَإِنَّمَا يَهْتَدِي لِنَفْسِي وَمَنْ دَلَّ فَإِنَّمَا يَدِلُّ عَلَيْهَا وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. Whoever is guided for his own benefit. Whoever is misguided, his misguidance is upon himself. And no person carries a sin or a burden of another individual. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these final moments of Ramadan that we find, that we go back and we evaluate ourselves and we pray, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our fasting, to accept our praying, to accept our devotion, to accept our adhkar, our dhikr, and tilawatul Qur'an, our sujood. Accept it. And then give us the tawfiq and ability to live, that this becomes an evidence for us to live for the rest of the year. And if Allah destines for us to come to the next Ramadan, because nobody knows, who could ever imagine? None of us could ever imagine that last Ramadan, this would be this Ramadan. None of us can ever imagine. We could have imagined that we would die. We could imagine that there could be some sickness or some hardship that could come upon us individually or a family member. We could imagine that. But none of us ever imagined that the world would come to a standstill. None of us would ever imagine that the masajid would stop, that there'll be no tarawih, there'll be no jum'ah, there'll be no gathering. None of us ever imagined that. We imagined it maybe in our own self or of minute understanding. But this could be a big wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of giving us the opportunity to purify ourselves, that when this lockdown is released, or more important than that, that this virus is taken, is uplifted from us, that we return back in a stronger faith and a stronger devotion to the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a stronger devotion and commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.